90.3 867 1190
Near FM.
Hello and welcome to Beyond the Back Page on Neo FM with myself, Patrick Donoghue. Brazil go into the upcoming World Cup as many people's favourites to win the tournament for a record-breaking sixth time. It comes against the backdrop of a turbulent period for the country with a very divisive election, leading to the election of Lula da Silva as president. To discuss all this, I'm delighted to be joined on the line on the show today by journalist and author Andrew Downey. Andrew has been based in Brazil for several years and is the author of two books on Brazilian football, Dr. Socrates and The Greatest Show on Earth. And I'm delighted to say Andrew is joining us on the line. Andrew, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
No bother, Patrick. Looking forward to chatting.
Yeah, so I might start. People that have been following the news, they'd be aware of the recent election in Brazil. To say it was divisive, I would say it would be an understatement. As I mentioned, you're in Brazil, you're based in Brazil, have been for several years. What is the atmosphere like in Brazil at the moment? There was fears that Bolsonaro would not concede defeat, but they seem to have allayed somewhat. So is there kind of a bit more of a calm atmosphere across Brazil now that there'll be a kind of a peaceful transition of power?
Well, I mean, that the answer to that is it depends where you are and which side you support, because the election was almost 50-50. Lula won with 50.9% of the vote. So it really was, split. The votes were split down the middle. So if you're a Lula supporter, then you're happy. You're delirious, in fact, because you've got rid of this far right president who's, a homophobe, a misogynist, a racist. And he turned Brazil into an international pariah. So obviously, you're looking forward to four years of relative sanity. If you're a Bolsonaro supporter, then this is like, the end of days. You're seeing a return to somebody that you think is going to turn Brazil into Venezuela or Nicaragua, like a far left communist. You think he's going to, rob the country blind because the PT, the Workers' Party, were involved in corruption schemes in the past. So if you're on the far right, then you think that this is a terrible result. I have to say that, I've laid it out how people see it. There's a real important thing, though, is to not get dragged into any false equivalency here. One side is played by the rules a lot more strictly than the other. And by that, I mean Bolsonaro has been involved in all sorts of misinformation, all sorts of fake news. He's tried to, diminish the other side. He's not really presented any plans. He basically stood in all debates and just called Lula a liar. He never really engaged with any kind of proposals for Brazil over the next few years. And Lula has, for all his faults, he was jailed and he was released on a technicality. His party was involved in all sorts of corruption. For all those faults, he has come across as a candidate who really wants the best for Brazil, not for himself, but for the country. And he's pointed to what he did in the past, where he brought millions of Brazilians out of poverty, where he did, build schools, he built universities, he did try and, move Brazil forward, and he did move Brazil forward. So there is that, not an important factor of distinguishing between the two sides.
Yeah, and it is a very tough task for Lula because the time when he took over the first time, I suppose things the world over would have been better economically. So it's a very, very, very challenging period coming for him to kind of a very divided country, and there's great poverty within Brazil and there's an awful lot of economical challenges. So it's a massive task facing them.
Yeah, I mean, the big difference, or one of the big differences, was that in Lula, as I'm sure was president, elected president in 2002 and again in 2006. So he ruled for 8 years. And the big advantage that he had during those 8 years was, as you say, was not just that, the world was a saner place. for Brazil. Brazil is a massive producer of raw materials. And by that, I mean things like iron ore and foodstuffs. So soy, oranges, go to orange juice, you know, beef, chicken, pork, you know, grains, you know, wheats and fruits and vegetables. Brazil is one of the world's biggest producers of all these things. And so commodity prices were high, you know, in large part because China was growing at 10% a year. China really needed iron ore. It really needed soy to, you know, to produce animal feed for all its animals there for to get food for its own people. So all these things brought in Brazil like a huge amount of money because prices were high, and that's not the case now. Prices have fallen considerably. So Lula won't have the same kind of windfall that he had and was able to use, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah, and is the World Cup coming? Because Brazil is just a football mad country, and when we think of Brazil, we think of football. And we had the announcement of the World Cup squad during the week. Is the World Cup perhaps coming at a good time for Brazil? Because over the next couple of weeks, when the World Cup starts, hopefully the country can just unite and. What might be, and Brazil will have gone into the tournament with great hopes. Is there a hope that this tournament can unite the country and heal some of them divisions?
Well, there's definitely that hope. But I think this year, more than any other year, Brazilian, or perhaps the only equivalent would be 1970, which I'll get to in a second. But the Brazil has been... politics has leaked into football for several years now, and that has caused a lot of people to be not to unite behind the team as they might have done in the past. One of the big things that you've seen is Bolsonaro has used the flag, the Brazilian flag, and the Brazilian shirt, famous yellow shirt, as rallying, you know, things for people to rally behind, his supporters to rally behind. So you when you look at any pictures of all his demonstrations, everyone's wearing yellow and carrying the flag. And so that has turned a lot of people on the left off. They feel that they can't unite behind the shirt. They can't wear the shirt because they'll be mistaken for one of these far right lunatics. So there's been a few campaigns actually in the last few months by people like Nike, by the Brazilian Football Confederation that runs football here, the FA here. They've tried to have some campaigns to say, listen, this shirt is ours. It's everybody's. It's all Brazilians. It's not a political. Banner to rally behind. So it's going to be interesting what happens in the middle of November once the World Cup kicks off, because you've also had players like Neymar or Thiago Silva, a few others who've come out in support of Bolsonaro, and that really has made a lot of Brazilians just go, listen, you know, I support the team, but these guys, I don't want them to win.
Yeah, and it is noteworthy. Like you wrote a book about Socrates, who would have been so he would have spoke out about the military dictatorship in Brazil. Such an outspoken, a person with a great social conscience. But within football, in Brazil, it seems that a lot of the prominent footballers seem to be quite right wing in their views. Is there a particular reason for that you can see?
I mean, there's been a lot of talk about why, a lot of discussion why. I mean, in Brazil, you know, millionaires, rich people tend to support Bolsonaro, and footballers, of course, are very rich. They tend to have come from, they tend to be kind of these, bootstraps kind of guys, you know, who've dragged themselves up through their own hard work. And they seem to think that, you know, everybody can do that, and anyone who's, you know, taking money off the government or you know, getting help or needs help is lazy or, you know, that kind of nonsense. So that's these are interesting factors. Another factor, of course, is religion. A lot of the footballers tend to be evangelical Protestants, and the evangelical Protestant movement has been very pro-Bolsonaro. So all these factors together are reasons that footballers seem to have come out, or so many of them have come out and supported, you know, these far-right lunatics.
Yeah, and the squad was announced one of the things people noted was the omission of Firmino of Liverpool. What did you make of the Brazilian squad? It looks on paper a very, very strong, very, very attack-minded team.
Yeah, I think somebody said there was 9 attackers in the team, which is partly part of the reason is because, you know, there's 26 in the squad these days, and not 23 as there used to be. So I think they've filled that up with a few attackers. And Brazil has a great area of attacking talent as it has for many years. The Firmino thing is kind of more surprising to people who watch English football than people in Brazil. I don't really watch English football, so you know I'm the wrong person to ask, you know about this in any detail. But I mean, there's just so many Brazilians that could have easily you could just drop them in. You drop one in and drop another out, and you know you wouldn't really notice a huge difference. So I mean, they just have so many options.
Yeah, and there's just looking at the squad. There's three players based in Brazil. Just asking about the domestic scene in Brazil. Looking at squad, the majority of the players are based in Europe. How strong is the Brazilian league, or is it kind of been hampered by the fact that so many of the best Brazilian talents are going over to Europe?
Yeah, and it's been that way for a long time. This squad actually has, as a percentage, has less Brazilians or Brazilian based players in it than I think anyone in the past. You know, there's no doubt that, you know, Europe has been taking all the best Brazilian talent for a long time. I mean, there's no getting around that. It's globalization, isn't it? Europe is where the money is. It's where the top players are, and the top players want to test themselves against other top players. For somebody who's watched Brazilian football for a long time, it's starting to get a little bit better. There's been quite a few Portuguese coaches have come in over the last 3 or 4 years and have opened Brazilian football up a little bit to new ideas and to innovations. It got stuck in a bit of a rut for a while. And I think it's a testament to, you know, how resilient it is and how it's kind of come back a little bit in the last few years. I mean, a couple of years ago, was it 2019? It was Liverpool against, you know, Flamengo in the World Club Cup, and it was, you know, I think Liverpool needed extra time to win 1-0, if I remember correctly. The last few games, what was last year? Last year was Palmeiras against, who would it have been, Real Madrid maybe? Real Madrid struggled to beat Palmeiras. That in that kind of one-off game, you know, Brazilians are still kind of holding their own a little bit. But it's there's no question there's an enormous gap between the standard of the league in Europe and the standard of the league here in Brazil.
And I was reading there is talk about more investment coming into Brazil. There was talk of maybe a Super League, some of the clubs getting together form a Super League. Is that coming to fruition, and is the extra investment in the Brazilian game happening?
Well, what you've seen here, or one of the kind of impediments to Brazilian football over the years, has been that the clubs are run as kind of societies. It wasn't one owner that would buy it. It would be members that would pay a membership fee each week, and the club would not just be a football club, be a social club as well. It'd have a swimming pool and a gym and a bar that you could go to at the weekends. So that always hampered big investment. And what you've had is you've had a change in the law, you know, the last couple of years. And this year, the end of last year, you've seen a number of big clubs being taken over by investors. One of whom, for example, is Ronaldo. Ronaldo has invested a lot of money in Cruzeiro, which was, of course, his first club in Brazil. Ronaldo, you know, former Barcelona, Real Madrid, Inter Milan Ronaldo. And you've seen similar things at other clubs. I'm trying to think of the clubs that's happened. Vasco da Gama, Botafogo, the guy who owns Crystal Palace, John Textor, he's also invested in Botafogo. There's been a lot of talk of Manchester City buying a club, to add a Brazilian club to their stable of clubs around the world. So, well, I mean, we've yet to really see how that affects the game here, but it does mean that you have big investors coming in and pumping money into the game. So it's really going to be interesting to see how, you know, how that changes the state of play here.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Some people say it's a good thing, but you look at English football and it mightn't be necessarily a great thing. I want to ask you about we were talking off air, Andrew, about I mentioned at the outset you've written two books about Brazilian football, and I started your book about Socrates at the weekend, and it just didn't know an awful lot about Socrates, but it was one of them books where the character of Socrates just jumped from the page, if that makes sense. You're just blown away by what a great character he was. That it's a few years since you writ the book, but it must have been great fun writing that book and doing the research into Socrates' life, because he tragically had a short life. He died quite young, but he packed so much into his life. He really was an incredible character.
For part of the reasons that you just mentioned, I much prefer talking to, old footballers rather than guys who are around now. I'm a Hibs fan. A Hibernian, any self-respecting Irishman, any self-respecting Irishman should be a Hibernian fan rather than a Celtic fan, as I
Yeah,
tell all my Irish friends.
the original
When
Irish,
I
Dave, aren't they?
the original Irish team,
Yeah,
exactly.
yeah.
And having I grew up when Hibs were, one of the top teams in Scotland, and we arguably still are, but it's impossible for Hibs to compete against teams like Rangers and Celtic, who embrace sectarianism, who've just pulled away from everyone for a whole bunch of reasons. And it's that thing that you're talking about. It's the rich getting rich and the poor getting poor, or the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. And we've seen that in football. We see that in England, and in Brazil, it's much more interesting to me to talk to a guy like Socrates, who was around in the 1980s, when Brazilian football, were enjoying, some of its most glorious times, because these guys also, they have a romance to them that I don't think, guys like Neymar do any longer. Because, I lost the count of the number of people who said to me, "Oh, you wrote a book about Socrates. I met Socrates once." And quite often they'd say, "I met him at an event, and he said, oh, let's just go for a beer after." And we all sat around in a pub afterwards, drinking beer, and he was great. Lots of people said that to me, and it's impossible to say that about any footballer nowadays. It just doesn't happen. They live on another planet from us mortals. So it was really, it was just really attractive to me, talking to old guys, talking about, how football used to be.
Yeah, and before I let you go, Andrew, how hopes are high. I was looking at the odds. Brazil looked like they're favourites to win this World Cup. How do you think they're going to get on? Do you think the bookies' favourite tag is justified?
Well, I think a favourite tag for Brazil is justified in almost every World Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, they just have so many great players, and so many players who play at the top level. I mean, the very top level. You pick any top team in Europe, and they've got a Brazilian in the ranks somewhere. So yeah, I mean, it would not surprise me at all if Brazil won. Again, I have this discussion with my friends over here. One of my best friends here is the Irish Times correspondent, and he's a big football fan, and we're always talking about, how Brazil are going to do, and he reckons Brazil are going to win, and I say, listen, it's seven games. It really is. I mean, I know it's a cliche, but it really is fine margins. It really
Yeah.
is. Somebody has a rush of blood to the head, gets sent off early,
Yeah.
and your whole World Cup is over.
Yeah.
It's a VAR decision that goes against you. It's an injury that goes against you. All these kind of things are what World Cups hinge on. But Brazil are definitely, they're definitely going to be, there at the sharp end, I think.
Yeah, well, it is a good point because you, of course, you've researched the 1970 World Cup and the 82 World Cup. It's a lot harder to win a cup competition than a league competition because, as you said, luck can desert you. So it's going to be very, very interesting. And just a last thing, Andrew, is there much debate within Brazil regarding the like a lot of the coverage over in Europe is about the human rights issues and whether this World Cup should be in Qatar. What is the feeling in Brazil in the kind of sporting press? Is it been mentioned much about the human rights issues with Qatar?
It has, although I think. The fact that Brazil has just been obsessed by the election for the last 3 or 4 months has really obfuscated everything else. I think we're going to start to see that kind of thing, appearing much more. You know, the Brazilian league finishes, I think it finishes this weekend. Mm. And then we'll start talking about the World Cup. Then it'll be blanket coverage, and then we'll start to see a lot more of this. Everything else that's been happening around politics and football the last few weeks has really taken centre stage until now.
Yeah, well, that's great, Andrew. Listen, really appreciate you taking the time to chat to us. Anyone that's interested, they can give you a follow on social media, to Twitter, books, Dr. Socrates and The Greatest Show on Earth are still available if anyone is interested. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us on the show. Good luck to Hibs, as you rightly say, the original Irish club, for the rest of the season. Enjoy the World Cup, and thanks a million for joining us on the show.
Thanks for the invite. That was a nice to chat to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew.
90.3
867 1190
Near FM.